Welcome to the Turned Up Life with Renee Lynn, where I help you attract your dreams and goals and live the life you've purposefully designed. On this episode, I'm going to be sharing a very special story of overcoming and pushing through, a story of never giving up and turning darkness into positivity and light. Today, I'm excited to introduce my special guest, Kayla. She is a mom of four incredible kids, 15, 13, 11, and 6. She's married to her elementary school sweetheart. Now that's a love story. She's about to graduate with her master's in clinical psychology and marriage and family therapy. If that's not enough, she has written a book that's scheduled to be released this summer and has started a nonprofit organization called Get Well Mental Health. And that's to help find resources around navigating insurance and mental health resources. So, wow, Kayla, I know you have a big story. When I met you, I felt so drawn to share your story. And so that's why we're here today. Kayla and I met at a networking event. She is super busy, a lot on her plate, and you're going to hear a little bit about some life that happened to her. And she came anyway. And we were just talking about how there are no coincidences in life. So she trusted her gut feeling. She took time out. I am so glad she did because we have connected on many different levels. And so, Kayla, thank you for being here. And tell the audience a little bit about where you want to start, because I know that you had a really tragic thing, you know, huge incident and turning point in your life not that long ago, like 7 months ago. And that brought you a mindset of why am I here? So I would love for you to share that with our audience.
Yeah. Wow, Renee, thank you so much. And hearing you say all those things about my life and my children, and it's like, oh, wow, that's me. That really is me. That's really cool. I don't think we sit back and really hear an introduction to ourselves very much. So that's really a beautiful moment for me. I'm just going to dive right in. So about, a little over 7 months ago, my family, we set out on an early morning trip for a vacation. And we were going to drive from the Bay Area down to LA. And we left at like 4 o'clock in the morning. We got in the car, packed. All the kids were all buckled. It was about 4:30 in the morning, really early. And about an hour and a half into the drive, it was the most beautiful sunset I'd ever seen. And I woke up the kids and I was like, hey, you guys, you've got to see this sunrise. It's beautiful. And they begrudgingly humored me. And they all woke up, their little eyes looking at the sun. And then they all went back to sleep. And 5 minutes later, we were driving down the road. And it's a four-lane road, two lanes going one direction, and then about separated by like a 12-foot grassy patch, and then two lanes going in the other direction. And we were in the far lane, the slow lane, and all of a sudden, the car next to us swerved over to avoid an oncoming car that was driving in the wrong direction. And their car hit our car. And I remember hitting my hands on the dashboard, and I looked at my husband and I was like, one of us is going to die. You know, I probably should have prefaced this with, if any of your listeners have recently been in a car accident or have experienced something that is really traumatic, please take care of yourself. If you're going to listen to this story, it might be difficult, but it is an important part of why I'm here. And I feel empowered to share this. So I'm going to continue. So the car went off the road, and I noticed that we were headed straight at a light pole. And that scared me more than anything, because you know, a light pole, you think it's going to come lay flat on the car and flatten you. But right when we hit the light pole, it fell down this 20-foot cliff. And instead of landing on us, it ended up down the ravine. And so did we. We followed the light pole and we rolled four times. And as soon as the 1999 Chevy Suburban, as soon as it stopped rolling, I hopped out as it was like coming back. The tires were like kissing the earth again, right? And I pop out of the truck and I looked in the back and I looked for my kids, and I just, everyone's head started popping up and moving. And then I saw my dog, and my dog, who had been in her crate, she started, you know, rustling around. And so I started getting the kids out of the car, and I'm like, I yelled at my husband. I'm like, Kyle, like, you gonna let me do this all by myself? Like, where are you? And my kids and my dog, we come around the driver's side, and my husband was lifeless and his face had been severed. So from one ear up, above his eyebrow. So up, it went from his eyebrow across to the other eyebrow and then down and to the other ear. So it's called a facial degloving injury. And he was lifeless, and I started kissing him and telling and holding him together. And my 12-year-old had her phone. She's on the phone with 911, and everybody else is standing up at the top of this cliff watching us, because nobody wants to jump down a cliff to come help us, because they'd have to, it's a 20-foot drop. And finally, people started just sliding down on their butts to come and help us. And we had so much help from people around us. And my children have all experienced catastrophic injuries from this accident. And three seatbelts ended up failing. And, you know, if I told you how much we talk about synchronicity, Renee, like my then 12, now 13-year-old, her seatbelt failed, but her door also sheared off in the roll and became like a double-edged sword. And because her seatbelt failed, her door shot into the car and chopped the top of her hair off. But if her seatbelt wouldn't have failed, I don't even want to think about what could have happened. Because her seatbelt failed, she was in motion, and that door didn't cause the damage that it could have. My husband, even with a facial degloving injury, his seatbelt failed. And if his seatbelt wouldn't have failed, the things that could have happened that didn't are magical. And so I share this because, you know, there's been a lot of healing and a lot of PTSD and a lot of trying to make sense of why didn't we die? Because so many people experience car accidents and they don't make it to see another day. And why did my family, my whole family, all four kids, make it to another day?
That's amazing. And it just gives me chills like all over my body listening to this. And, you know, when we first met, you told me that you'd had this accident, but wow, that's life changing. And you told me you were like, this led to this and this led to this. And, you know, I wrote a book because of this and, you know, all these different things. But literally, it's not like it happened 3 years ago. It literally happened 7 months ago. What happened in your mind that just pushed you so forward so fast? Because you're in the midst of getting your master's degree, like you've got so much going on. Like, what propelled you forward?
I'm going to sit with that for a second, because Renee, I realize that tomorrow isn't promised. And so often you hear people talk about, oh, I'm going to write a book, I'm going to do it. But tomorrow comes and they haven't written even one paragraph in that book, because we live our lives banking on tomorrow. And that moment for me after the accident, when I turned and I saw my kids and I saw my husband walk for the first time after the accident, like, Renee, there was this instinctual desire to make life what I want, what I've always dreamed, because it all could not be here. I could not be here.
Absolutely. And I love how you express that, because instead of saying, oh, poor us, and, you know, let's sue that other driver, and, you know, all these other things that you could be thinking, why me? You took that and you said, there's a purpose, there's a reason. And actually, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is, you know, you've been with your husband since grade school. And one of my questions for you today was, when you got married, what was your dream? Because obviously, a lot of things have happened that changed what that vision was. Like, did you have any vision of where you were today?
I love that you asked this question, because it was just the other day I was talking to my husband and I was like, when did we manifest this life? Our kids love each other. They laugh, they fight. And we have an incredible relationship with our children, and our children have an incredible relationship within each other. And, you know, when I first met him, I was 8, he was 9. I walked out of the classroom, he walked out of the classroom next to me, and I looked at him and his bleach blonde hair in the, you know, in the 90s, and he had this huge earring in, and I was just like, oh my goodness, that is the most beautiful human I've ever seen. And I remember, like, the world stopped. Like, all the other kids were playing, but him, and like him and I stopped. It was just like a connection. And at that point, I remember thinking, I'm going to marry him. And I knew it. I could feel it. And his mom was our yard duty. And I remember helping her like clean up the yard, thinking, this is going to be my mother-in-law someday. Sure enough, come to find out, we've been married now for almost 14 years, and we have a beautiful family that is, we've been through some really hard times, and these hard times, the accident, we've lost his father, we've lost my stepmom, we've had a lot of trials and tribulations, and we've grown apart and together and apart and together, and if there's one thing I can say about marriage, it's a commitment through all things. And, you know, I don't know if this reality that we're living in right now was ever manifested or if we ever dreamed it. But I can tell you that every day we make the choice. We make the choice that our children are going to be our first priority, and we want to show our children what it looks like to go after your dreams. And it's really special to look at him and see him when he was 8. Sometimes I look at him and I can see 8-year-old him. And that's really special.
That's a beautiful, beautiful love story. And I have a friend who is, she's a total well-being coach. She's a nurse. She's just amazing. Eileen, and she has her kind of like byline is soul to self, self to soul, or self to soul, soul to side. I forget what it is, but it is that connection of souls, and none of us know where we come from or where we're going. And, you know, we all have different belief systems, but you obviously, you shared a couple of things with me. And when I think about you met your husband at 8 or 9 years old, you then have the story of the book that you're writing on how you went through your teen years where you were actually taken in the middle of the night, you know, all of that. And I know that's another big story. You have a big life already, girl, and lots more to live and lots more to share. But tell us a little bit about it. So what happened during that time? Like, obviously he didn't get taken in the middle of the night, but you did. And how did that reconnect? And is that what your book is going to be all about? Is that whole story?
Yeah. So the book is called Am I Changed? And it's about, before I tell that part of the story, it's important to talk about my adolescence was traumatic, to say the least. I'd had some sexual abuse. I had had some physical abuse, all at the hands of people that I thought I could trust. And the abuse was one thing, and I was handling that. I was kind of working through it. But then my aunt got breast cancer when I turned 16, and so did my mom. So my aunt got stage 4 and my mom got stage 2 while I was sending someone to prison for what they had done to me. And at 16 years old, I couldn't handle it. I couldn't take it. My aunt passed away. I was watching my mom suffer. I was in court all the time, and I snapped, as a teen should at that point. Not should. Hopefully everybody has resources to be able to not have to snap in when life is difficult, but I did. And so I ran away, and my mom ended up, you know, she kept telling me, if you don't get your act together, I'm going to send you to a boarding school. And I always thought those were empty promises. And then one night she said, okay, well, come home, come eat, come be with us. And that night I went to sleep, and I was awakened around 4:30 in the morning by a very tall man, looked like a WWF wrestler, and a tall blonde woman. And my book starts right there. It literally starts at the kidnapping. And we call this gooning, and that's when someone comes in and takes a troubled teen to a program. And that's called gooning. But for the rest of the world, they don't really know what gooning is. So we call it kidnapping, because it was a hired kidnapping. And I invite people into my story. So I let people in on my inner thoughts. It's a present tense, first person, nonfiction young adult memoir of what it felt like to be picked up in the middle of the night and taken to treatment. And I was dropped off in Arizona, and then I was there for 11 months, and I had to learn a whole new society, and I had to learn how to navigate really challenging and difficult situations alone. I was taken from my mom. I didn't have access to her. I couldn't talk to her really. And so I had to learn. I had to learn how to do this. And so the book is called Am I Changed? Because at every turn I was like, is this it? Am I changed? Am I better now? I think I'm better now. I think I'm healed. I can do this now. But really the truth is that change is a constant evolution, and it's constant growth. And I think it's so important that teenagers realize that, you know, when they feel that their voices aren't being heard, when they feel silenced, when they feel that no one can understand them, that's a sign that they need to go inside. And they need to spend time with themselves. Like, I also want to point out that I wish my parents would have taken the time to invest in themselves, because there was some failures on their part that, you know, now that I'm older and we've been able to talk about it, that we've been able to work through. But I needed more than just a therapist at that point at 16 years old. I should have been in a program. I should have been in an IOP, or, you know, getting extra support. And so I think care is more accessible now, But my book is all about that experience, and I let people in. I let them get the you get to walk through what it felt like to be in a caseload and passing notes and getting caught and what it felt like to get put on silence from everybody, non-compliant meals, all of that. If anyone has watched the program on Netflix, that's a close, not the same story, but a close story to what my book is about.
Yeah, I recently watched that, and it is very revealing. And, you know, as parents, you know, we're not trained to be parents. We parent many times in the comfort zone of what we were parented like, and hopefully we do better job. But obviously, you're all about breaking generational curses. And here's what I know. When we get through one extremely traumatic, challenging point in our life, we know we can keep going, and the next one and the next one and the next one. And as you said, there's never going to be a time, like I think a lot of people wait for, it's going to be better when someone's going to love me when, or I'm going to love them when, and there's always a when this happens, then that can happen. And really, in reality, what we have to be doing is knowing that life is never going to stay the same. And you're like on that surfboard where you're just, you know, taking the next wave. And you obviously have learned to take the waves. And there's a reason for this, because your story, as it comes out and as you, you know, really start sharing, you know, because a lot of times we keep our stories inside of ourselves for a very long time because they're so painful, and there's shame in our stories, and there's hurt and anger and all these different things. And I'm sure you've had to do all that work to let it go, to get past the anger, to forgive your, you know, whatever it is, whoever it is. And that helps you to traverse the next situation. And I know before we go, I did want you to share a little bit about your health journey, because I think that's probably what inspired you to come see me when we met that first night.
Yeah, definitely. So I was born with rheumatoid arthritis, which is inflammation of the joints. And so when I was younger, I didn't walk until I was maybe like a year and a half, which is pretty late, because it was painful. It hurt. Even recently, as about a month ago, I had a really, really bad arthritic flare up. So it's grown into adult arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis. And I try not to take too many medications. So I try to just kind of man through the pain. I say man through, woman through the pain. And I try to stick it out. And this most recent flare up that I had, Renee, I tried the 3 products. Please remind me what the little orange one is.
The Revive.
The Revive.
All the anti-inflammatories that are all natural. So many great testimonials on that product.
I will be ordering another one, probably multiple, because I started kind of doubling up on my doses and I feel fabulous. Like, it helped so much from the moment I started taking it, and also the vitamins. But I've really started to see a difference in my skin, in my hair, my nails. I noticed my nails the other day are very strong, and it's only been in, you know, about a month or so since I started taking the supplements. And my energy level is different. But something that really stuck out to me, Renee, that is very important when it comes to those products, is when I used to take vitamins, I used to feel sick. I would, my stomach would start to hurt, or, you know, I just feeling nauseous, not well, right? I've never felt that with these products. I've taken them on an empty stomach. I've taken them on a full stomach. I've taken them in the morning. I've taken them at night. I've taken them at all different times of the day, and I have never had an adverse side effect in any way. And I'm taking everything at this point. I'm on everything, except I'm not on the collagen right now because I got my husband to use that one for his scarring. So
we have a lot of great stories just like that, because when you use three, it's truly the technology and the cleanliness, the testing, all of that, so that you have none of those synthetics, binders, fillers, all those things. So anybody listening to that that's going like, what's three? Go ahead and take a look in the show notes, and we'll drop Kayla's link in there, and you can get some more information on what has really helped her RA. And I do have quite a few clients with inflammatory issues. And it is just like, your life is miserable. So on top of, you know, all of the things that you've gone through, you have this underlying autoimmune issue that is really painful.
Exactly. Exactly. And like I was saying, I try really hard to not be automatically turning towards ibuprofen, because ibuprofen is not good for the liver. And I have taken so much ibuprofen in the course of my life. And so this has just been a real blessing in my life to have three. And I'm really enjoying the vitamins, because I feel, I was looking at the percentages of the vitamins that I'm getting in just those 4 or 5 pills, and versus like taking 6 or 7 bottles of 2 or 3 pills each, like that can be overwhelming. I feel like I'm taking less vitamins and I'm feeling better. It's great. I really, really, really like this product.
Yeah, that was my experience as I went from IV therapy to not only IV therapy, but like 20 horse pills a day, and only feeling like 50% better. And like, I'm like 100%. So I look forward to, as you know, for me, it was 6 months, 9 months. I had some pretty severe autoimmune issues too. And of course, metal toxicity. And so, you know, we share our health journeys for others that think that, gosh, this is it. I can remember laying in my bed and being chronically fatigued, and I had pain in my body and I couldn't sleep. My hair's falling out. My skin's turning crepey, you know, 11 years ago. And I'm thinking, is this it? Because when we feel these things, and when we're in pain, we also have depression and anxiety and you know, our down cycling of our moods. And so with all of that being said, is that what led you to getting your master's and wanting to go out and help people with mental health? How many of these things along your journey like took you to that place? Because that's a big undertaking with 4 kids.
Before I go into that, Renee, if I can write a book, be in a master's program, work full-time and have 4 kids, if I can do it, then anyone can do it.
100%. Really.
And I still have a very robust social life. I have friends who I adore, and I can't go more than a month without seeing each of them. So I, all that to say, like, you can reach for the stars and still have a life. I don't think that you need to have one or the other, but I have to say, if we're talking about what made me make that decision to become a therapist and to become an advocate for mental health, like, I was born with that. In kindergarten, my kindergarten teacher asked me, what are you going to be when you grow up? And all the kids were like, I'm going to be a cop. I'm going to be a firefighter. I want to be a teacher. My response was, I want to help people solve their problems peacefully. That's always been it's just who I am. I've been in therapy since I was really young. When my dad and my mom got divorced when I was 3, that's when I started on and off therapy. And, you know, being in that school, as hard as it was for me and as challenging as it was, I had the world's greatest therapist at that school. And one day I wrote in my journal, and every day I wrote in my journal when I was in boarding school. But one day I wrote, I'm going to write a book about my life. And that was it. One sentence. And every other page is full. I mean, full. That's the only page that has one sentence on it. And that says something. There's an inner knowing that we have inside. And if you close your eyes and you take a couple deep breaths and you think about your story and what in your story has nuggets of wisdom for you that you can apply towards your purpose on this planet. For me, if you look at my life story, it's full of trauma. It's full of difficulties and challenges. And there have been many times where I've been so sad or experiencing PTSD to the max. And I have had to take a step out of it and go, okay, what is this preparing me for? There has to be a reason underneath this. Even from a really young age, I've always looked for the reason. And to anyone who's listening to this, and if you're hearing my story and it's inspiring you, like I want to talk to you. I want to support you. If you need help finding a therapist, if you need a therapist, this is, it comes very naturally to me. I'm happy to support people. You can go to getwellmentalhealth.com. I'm happy to support you because it is scary to ask for help when you need it. And you hear a lot of no's before you hear a yes. And sometimes you need someone to hold your hand and go, oh, we heard a no today, but we're going to hear a yes soon. We just have to keep asking.
That's incredible. And thank you for sharing that link. Those links will be in the show notes. If you go into the podcast episode notes, please find out how you can get in touch with Kayla. Kayla, in wrapping up this episode, I always ask my guests to give three things that they, in just looking at all that we've talked about, what are your top three pieces of nuggets of wisdom that you can share?
First one would be, in your darkest moments, it's okay to feel like you want to hide, but look for the stars. The second one would be, when you're scared, you're probably doing something right. And the third would be kind to each other, because you don't know what someone else is going through. And it took a lot of people to help me process my accident. I had a lot of support. I was wrapped in love. I had no questions. My friends supported us. My family supported us. There was not a time when but sometimes I had to ask for it. So asking for help when you need it. Saying, hey, someone needs to come sit with my kids. I need 5 minutes to myself.
Ask. I love that. You know, when you said be kind to each other, be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
Because it is that moment that we are not kind to ourselves and our self-doubt and our self-talk. So thank you so much for being here. This will be one of my top episodes, I know, because your story, it's meant to be shared. And so please follow and share this episode with as many people as you can. Thank you for tuning into the Turned Up Life podcast. If you are looking to turn up your life and turn down the distractions and negative noise, and you're ready for a change, head to my website and book a complimentary discovery call with me. I would love to meet you and help you on your journey to designing your dream life. Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Turned Up Life. Please stay tuned for future episodes and do subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow me on Instagram at Coach Renee Lynn. I'd love to hear from you. And if you have questions or need some advice about lifestyle or business mentorship, please do send them my way and I will respond in future episodes. The Turn Up Life is produced by the good people at The Podcast Boutique. I'm your host, Renee Lynn. Stay well and live a purposeful, turned up life.